80% of the bats in China are infected with a SARS-like virus. Dennis Martin reporting, USA Radio Network News.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep.
That's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. We're going to talk this hour about Chief Justice John Roberts. How does that sound? Chief Justice John Roberts. Chief Justice Roberts, the Roberts Court. Well, get used to it. You're going to be hearing this phrase for several decades to come, in our likelihood, assuming a normal lifespan. Many of you won't be living to see the next Chief Justice. So, I was going to go on air when I scheduled today's show and tell you my final decision on whether or not I was going to support the nomination of Judge Roberts. I scheduled this a while ago. I did not know that, in fact, the vote would be held today. And apparently the Democrats, well, without my guidance, as if my guidance means anything, without my guidance to them, they split evenly. Roberts got a unanimous vote of approval by every Republican, all 55 of them. But the Democrats split precisely down the middle, 22-22. And I think their split mirrored exactly my thoughts on the matter. Let me tell you why I was split, and I will get eventually to my decision. As I said at the beginning, I wasn't going to prejudge the man. I recognized from the outset that he was not a wacko, like, say, Robert Bork, nor was he, at least on his face, clearly an ideologue like Justice Scalia. The question always was he a secret ideologue, someone who was saying virtually nothing to the Judiciary Committee in order to get confirmed. And this guy's slick. I mean, he did it well. I have to admit that virtually everything he said at the nomination hearings, and I watched a good part of them, it's kind of hard to disagree with. He came in with the overwhelming modesty. He came as a very modest man. He suggested that he was an umpire, a baseball umpire, that he simply called the balls and strikes, as he put it, and didn't actually affect the law. But he knows that's not true, right? I mean, he's a brilliant man. Well, there's no question he's brilliant. There's no question he's smart, well-polished, well-spoken, slick. So he knows, of course, that unlike a lower court, as a Supreme Court judge, you can, indeed you must, when it comes to the question of constitutionality of laws, make decisions. You must determine whether a law is constitutional or not. But Judge Roberts said he would just follow the law. Judges don't make the law. And the Democrats tried very hard to get him to answer questions, as Justice Ginsburg had done during her nomination hearing. She didn't answer all the questions about how she would rule in future cases, but she did answer her opinion about past cases. Judge Roberts avoided that as well, except for the questions of the cases that were so obviously in the mainstream, things like Brown versus Board of Education and other cases that no one at all disputes today. So what are we to make of the man? The Democrats must have had a very hard decision today. Kind of reminds me of the Democrats when they voted on the Iraq War. They didn't have the information at that time that George Bush and his administration had made up the weapons of mass destruction threats. They didn't know that at the time. And the question was, well, did you believe the administration? And at that time, most Democrats decided to give the administration the benefit of the doubt. And so those that are opposed to Roberts' nominations are saying loudly or said to me, to others, you know we can't trust Bush, right? To which I have to say right. And therefore, we can't trust his nominee, John Roberts, right, Mark? To which I have to say, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. He came off very well. I mean, before the hearings, I said, well, I have to wait. I have to see the hearings. I saw the hearings, and there's virtually nothing I can complain about. The few hints, and he gave very few hints of how he's going to rule, the few hints he gave were, well, I agree. In fact, I think it's fair to say that when he made a comment, which was exceedingly rare, I agree with virtually every word he said. He did say there was privacy in the Constitution. He just wouldn't say how far it went. He did talk about the fact that judges shouldn't make the law. I agree with that. They should interpret the Constitution. They shouldn't let their personal views get in the way. I agree with that. So the question is, what do you do with a blank slate? What do you do with a cipher, so to speak? The Republicans obviously believe, given his past, and I'm going to talk about his past in the next segment, given his past, the way he'd done secretly some things that the Republicans really needed, some of which were, I don't know, quite shady. The Iran-Contra affair, the 2000 election, selection decision, I should say. And so they think his quietness hides the fact that he's going to be solidly on their side. And they may be right. And I may be sorely naive in thinking that maybe I should trust what the man said. It's troubling, I'll tell you. This morning, I thought I might abstain if I were a senator. But I think I've actually come down to a different conclusion, and I will tell you how I would have voted on John Roberts' nomination when we come back. Toll-free number, 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back.
What women want. If you're losing your hair, here are two things guaranteed to turn them off: a toupee or that hairsprayed comb-over look. But you hate your hair loss and you want it to change. That's where the new interactive and absolutely free DVD from Medical Hair Restoration can help. Various cures for hair loss flood radio and TV airwaves. But the first question to consider is what has been scientifically and medically proven. Founded by Dr. Matt Levitt, Medical Hair Restoration has specialized in hair loss for over 11 years. With literally thousands of satisfied patients, you deserve to get your copy of their free DVD and find out the answers to your questions about restoring your hair to its natural, attractive condition. See the amazing before and after pictures of people who have gotten their real hair, self-esteem, and confidence back. Call to order your free DVD now. There is no obligation, just real results. You know what women want? To run their fingers through your real hair. Call 800-936-2823, 800-936-2823 for an amazing free DVD. Call now, 800-936-2823.
Born with a rare birth defect and living in a Russian orphanage, Elena had little chance of ever walking. But when her adoptive family brought her home, they found help and hope at a Shriners hospital where she was fitted with prosthetic feet.
We wouldn't be where we are if Shriners hadn't taken care of us.
Shriners Hospitals offer some of the world's best orthopedic spinal cord and burn medical care to children totally free of charge. And they combine that care with innovative teaching and progressive research programs.
Shriners Hospital made a difference not only with the medical side of it, but the human side of it and making it a family experience for us.
Today, Elena is an unstoppable six-year-old.
I don't think there's even words to really thank Shriners for everything they've done. Their care is phenomenal.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055 for more information. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. So what are we to make of Chief Justice John Roberts? Well, I'm sure I'll have an opinion a year from now, and even sure that I'll have an opinion 5 years or 10 years, perhaps 30 years from now. I'll definitely have an opinion 30 years from now. I believe I'll outlive the man, though nothing's certain in this life. But it's very hard to know. They put in a blank slate. And as much as the Republicans think he's going to come out their way, if you listen to what he said, and if you believe him, and I have to admit, if I were sitting on a jury and he were a witness at trial, he's very believable. I mean, he comes across very good. I mean, this man can say no comment like you wouldn't believe. It sounds like he's commenting. He'll give a long, detailed no comment. So, how will he turn out? Well, liberals hope that he'll be, well, like David Souter. You know who David Souter is? Justice David Souter was appointed by George Bush Sr. He had written very little. He was little well known. Yeah, he's Republican. He was conservative. But he was on the New Hampshire Supreme Court. He hadn't dealt with the federal issues that so divide our country, issues of abortion, civil rights. So they assumed he would vote their direction, and they were glad he didn't have a long federal judicial record, because then he could do like Judge Roberts did, and basically say nothing, and he could say so truthfully, say, you know, the issue of abortion didn't come before the New Hampshire Supreme Court, and I just followed what the Supreme Court said. And lo and behold, he got on the court, and the man showed himself to be a man of honor, a man of truth, a man who didn't simply spout the views of the man who appointed him there, but he came up with some views of his own. And I think one of the best things he did was his dissent in Bush v. Gore. He wasn't willing to overrule decades of judicial precedent. He wasn't willing to be a hypocrite. He wasn't willing to throw out the Constitution just to put in office the son of the president that appointed him. I got a lot of respect for Judge Souter for that. And indeed, to the contrary, those on the right hate Judge Souter for that. They detest Judge Souter for not abandoning the Constitution in order to stick Bush into president, as the majority did. So what kind of judge will Roberts be? The answer is, we don't know. And liberal groups focused on the fact that we don't know and warned us, you're throwing the dice. You're throwing the dice, Roe v. Wade. Well, with all due respect to some of my allies, we're not really throwing the dice. Remember who John Roberts is replacing. It would be different. It would be a lot. I'd be a lot more concerned if he were replacing Justice O'Connor. But he's replacing Chief Justice William Rehnquist, perhaps the last great bigot on the court. Maybe Scalia too. But even Scalia, I don't see him doing what William Rehnquist did, actively trying to prevent blacks and Latinos from voting. So he doesn't have to move very far to make the court actually a little bit better. Remember, if Rehnquist is 98% wrong and Roberts is only 96% wrong, there'll be an improvement on the court. So I'm not as concerned. I'll be very concerned about the next justice. I'm not as concerned. So I still haven't told you how I would vote. But that would suggest that I would actually vote for the man. Well, let me give you some reasons against. I told you. As of this morning, I was ready to abstain, though I will give you before the end of the show what my vote would have been. Here's what really concerns me about the Roberts nomination. What concerns me is the secrecy of the Bush administration. Now, obviously, this isn't unique to the Roberts nomination. This is the most secretive administration in United States history. I don't know of one that's more secretive. Perhaps you can think of one at 877-528-TALK, but I don't know of one. Certainly, it's more secretive than the Nixon administration. And what did they do with John Roberts? They hid his records. They only provided the memos that were already in public view, the memos he wrote for Ronald Reagan 24 years ago, which Roberts, throughout the confirmation process, distanced himself from, right? He said, I was just expressing the views of the administration. Really, the question is, what did he write when he was in the Solicitor General's office, working for George Bush Sr., you know, only 10, 15 years ago, rather than 25? And those, they wouldn't turn over. Even though the government had turned over those memos for conservatives like Robert Bork and for moderate Democrats like Justice Ginsburg. They turned them over before. Why are they hiding the records of John Roberts? What does he have to hide? So part of me thought I should oppose this nomination on principle. I should oppose this nomination because they're hiding the records, because I don't want to set up the precedent whereby the president can hide judicial records from people. I don't want to set up the precedent where Roberts, unlike Ginsburg, refused to answer questions about what he thought about past decisions. There's an important distinction here. Justice Ginsburg, like many nominees to the Supreme Court, would not say exactly how she would vote on issues that might come before the court. But she did give her opinion on past cases frequently, which gave everyone an idea as to how she would rule. And she was non-controversial after all. She'd been suggested by Republican Senator Orrin Hatch to President Bill Clinton. But Judge Roberts wouldn't even do that. So part of me was saying, you know, if you're not going to show us those memos, we're just going to vote against him. So I had a difficult decision to make. And before this program is out, I'll tell you my views. But I want to hear from you as well. 877-528-TALK. Do you think, if you were a senator of the United States, you would vote for John Roberts? Would you vote against him? Would you even mount a filibuster? You can also let me know on the web at RadioInsideScoop.com. We'll be right back after this.
Tired of losing in the casinos and being in the hole? Learn how to win at Blackjack with Blackjack for Winners. Call 1-800-214-7012, 1-800-214-7012. This is the DVD the casinos do not want you to see. According to Tommy Hyland, a legendary blackjack professional, this DVD teaches an easy way to count cards and beat the casinos at their own game of blackjack. It takes only three easy steps. One, basic strategy. Two, card counting. And three, money management. It's just that easy to beat the casinos at their own game of blackjack. Order right now and you'll receive two instructional DVDs, 52 flashcards making basic strategy a snap, and a reference card you can take into the casinos with you. All of this for only $29.95 plus shipping and handling. Order today at 1-800-214-7012, 1-800-214-7012. Start learning to win at Blackjack today with Blackjack for Winners, 1-800-214-7012, 1-800-214-7012.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sale. The federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series, 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. Emord, that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm discussing the now Chief Justice of the United States, John Roberts, who was not just confirmed today by the United States Senate, but quickly sworn in within minutes of his approval. You know, what's the rush? It's almost like, oh, got him through. Now they're going to find out information on him. And there are still unanswered questions about John Roberts, things that I'd like to know more about, questions that I would have asked had I been on the Senate committee. One of them I raised a couple weeks ago, and that is Judge Roberts' role in the Iran-Contra scandal. We know that in 1985, 1986, he was working for the president as a legal advisor, and we know he was writing memos to the president specifically on how to aid the Contras. Now, at this time, there was something called the Boland Amendment. It was an amendment to an appropriations bill. Basically, it was a law signed by the president. It was a clear law that said you couldn't aid the Contras overturning the Nicaraguan government. You couldn't do it. Maybe you disagreed. Clearly, Reagan disagreed with that policy passed by a Democratic Congress, but that's the law. He couldn't disobey the law. And my contacts told me that Roberts didn't focus on the Boland Amendment. Interesting. Got virtually no play. Another question I have for John Roberts. What did he do to help the Bush team during the post-election 2000 Supreme Court affair? The one, of course, that made Bush president of the United States. He was asked about Bush v. Gore, and he chose not to comment on it. And, I mean, the people on the committee that got him, they said, well, look, Judge Roberts, I mean, Bush v. Gore ain't going to happen again. I mean, you could tell us you won't comment on past abortion cases because they might come up again, you know, the issue of abortion. But Bush v. Gore, that situation's never going to come up the way it was again. And he said, well, you know, you could have a disputed election. He wouldn't answer. What did he do? Well, a person on my blog, frequent caller, Dave, writes that he was actually one of the guys pounding on the wall to stop the vote. I haven't seen that, Dave. If you have evidence of that, please send me the picture, send me the link. I'd like to know about it. I don't know that he's gone that far, but I do know that he was out helping the Florida officials. And I know that they said, when asked about it, John Yoo, who, by the way, I went to Yale Law School with and is now a high-up Republican administration, said no comment. He wasn't going to comment on Judge Roberts' role. What did he do? What did he advocate? Well, you know, partly what Roberts is going to say is, look, I just did what I was told. I'm a hired gun. I'm a lawyer. We lawyers represent anybody. We represent people that could get the death penalty. We represent mass murderers. So we just do what our clients tell us to do. After all, John Roberts helped, in fact, some gay rights advocates in the famous case of Romer v. Evans. Why can't he help George Bush try to win his case? Partly I'm troubled because that case is like no other case. There was no law, zero law, none whatsoever, supporting the Supreme Court decision in Bush v. Gore. Nil. Nada. And it's hard sometimes for people to understand that because generally in the law there are two sides. There were not two sides in Bush v. Gore. There was only one side. And that was the side that said that the Supreme Court had no right to intervene to determine state law. Indeed, states' rights advocates, the conservatives, right, they made it clear prior to Bush v. Gore that they couldn't possibly intervene. And, of course, even before that happened, they refused to intervene but changed their mind at the last moment. I've talked about that at length. But, by the way, if you really want the details on Bush v. Gore, go to my website, click under Who We Are, and read my layman's guide to Bush v. Gore. I started on the radio because of my anger at that coup d'etat. So, yeah, I want to know what he did. I want to know what he did. I want to know. When we come back, I want to talk about one of the things that most scares me about John Roberts, and that is his deference to presidential power. The way he, whenever there's a conflict, well, and it's hard to say because he's only been on the court for 2 years, but he seems to go to support presidential power. Indeed, the most famous case, Hamdan v. Rumsfeld, he actually supported military tribunals that have no basis in the Constitution, that don't have due process rights, for the people that we picked up and put in jail on Guantanamo Bay without any following of the Geneva Accords, the treaty, which is the law. That really concerns me about John Roberts. And before the hour is through, I promise, I will tell you my final decision on how I would have voted today had I been a senator choosing. If you want to call in, give me your views. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
This is Newsbreak. John Roberts was sworn in this afternoon as the 17th Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. He replaces Chief Justice William Rehnquist, who died recently after a long battle with cancer. The Chatsworth wildfire north of Los Angeles in Southern California has charred 17,000 acres since it began yesterday. Several buildings have been burned and evacuations are underway, but the fire department says progress is being made. The New Orleans Police Department announced today that investigations are underway into the actions of some of its officers during Hurricane Katrina. The newly appointed acting superintendent says most police officers did a great job during a very difficult time. On Wall Street, the Dow rose 80 points to 10,553. NASDAQ was up 26 at 2141, while the S&P gained 11 points to 1228. There's more news at usaradio.com.
To save the world, you always expect Agent Sydney Bristow to risk her life.
Sir, I'm not actually considering this, are you? It's insane.
You don't know me very well.
And last season, you never expected the life or death cliffhanger.
I love you.
I love you too.
But this season, expect more.
I'm pregnant.
Jennifer Garner stars in the season premiere of Alias. A brand new life is beginning.
I'm not safe. Neither is my baby.
Alias, on its new night and time, tonight at 8, 7 Central, only on ABC.
To achieve true enlightenment, you must let go of all your earthly desires.
That's a problem. Subway Restaurants has this new fresh toasted chicken parmesan sandwich. I can't give it up. Take a bite.
There's that old adage about food and enlightenment.
What is it?
A sandwich like a baby of woman.
That's deep.
Yes.
Everyone wants a new fresh toasted chicken parmesan sandwich from Subway Restaurants. Tender chicken, melted cheese, zesty marinara sauce, and freshly baked bread. Subway. Eat fresh.
Subway is a registered trademark of Doctors Associates.
I'm Joe Graydon, and this is our daily update from the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network. A new study confirms that a low-salt diet can help control blood pressure. Researchers compared an ordinary American diet to a special DASH diet. That stands for Dietary Approaches to Stopping Hypertension. The DASH diet is rich in vegetables, fruits, whole grains, poultry, fish, nuts, and low-fat dairy foods. Over 3 months, the sodium intake was varied, and the scientists found that the lower the sodium, the better the blood pressure.
Controlling cholesterol is crucial in reducing the risk of heart disease. In the past, questions have been raised about whether statins and other cholesterol-lowering drugs are linked to depression and suicide. A study in the Archives of Internal Medicine shows that patients taking cholesterol medicines are no more likely to report depression than other people. This is Terry Graydon with the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing the new Chief Justice of the United States, John Roberts, the second youngest Chief Justice in American history. The youngest was John Marshall, who became Chief Justice in about 1800. He actually also served the longest, some 35 years. And you know what? People live longer today than they did in 1800. He could be on a very long time. So how do I feel about Roberts? Well, I told myself I'm going to let the confirmation hearings decide, and he came off very well. I can't deny it. I mean, I heard what he had to say. I didn't like the fact that he refused to answer so many questions, but what he did say, I couldn't disagree with. No doubt that is why he said what he said. I have to say, there are people, well, on the left and the right, that acted very knee-jerk with this. I had a... someone posted on my blog, someone who called himself Judge Cryer, I have no idea if this is a judge, saying that the hearing before the Judiciary Committee, the Democrats, that it was like the Communist Party, that the Democrats would all vote in lockstep against nomination clearly. Well, Judge Cryer, you owe the Democrats an apology. And I hope you will give one on the blog. Because obviously they didn't. The Democrats split 22-22 right down the middle. So the Democrats were fair to the Republican nominee. At least half of them were. And part of me wonders for the future. You know, as much as I have these concerns, not so much about what Robert said as about what he didn't say, I have to look to the future. There will be time, God willing, when we have a new Democratic president. In fact, given the corruption, the arrogance of power, the indictment of Tom DeLay, the SEC looking into Bill Frist, we have so much corruption in our government, in the executive branch, in the legislative branch, that I think the Democrats are going to do quite well November 2006. So I have to say, what if we have a Democratic president who appoints a justice? I would want the Republicans to be as fair to that nominee as the Democrats have been to Judge Roberts. And I have to think about that as well if I'm the senator. Let's call me the senator from the District of Columbia because the District of Columbia has no representation in Congress. They have no senators. Washington is the only place in America, in fact, where you have taxation without representation. You have no vote in Congress, no role in the federal government. You're simply ruled as a colony. That's another point. So let's make me senator from the District of Columbia and ask me how I'd vote. I would consider, on the one hand, what he said sounds good. On the other hand, the president is hiding records from us. On the good side, he's not a wacko like Bork or doesn't seem to be a clear ideologue like Scalia. On the other hand, he appears to have been involved in the Iran-Contra and the 2000 Florida debacle. On the one hand, he's replacing Rehnquist. So, you know, how bad could he be? On the other hand, he seems to be a big supporter of executive power. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. But on the one hand, he could be like Judge Souter, who was quiet but turned out to be not so bad. Or he could be like Scalia, where they didn't have much look into him. And Scalia was approved unanimously and turned out to be awful. On the other hand, he's replacing Rehnquist, you know? I mean, how bad could he be? He's replacing Rehnquist. All these things come to mind. And so I have to ask myself, what if the shoe were on the other foot? What if it happened with a Democrat? What then? What if you had the same situation with a Democratic president? How would the Republicans respond? It's a fair question, and one that I plan to ask my guest, who's coming on in just a few minutes, Robert Peters, the president of Morality and Media. I want to know if you had a Democrat who was in the same situation as Judge Roberts with everything reversed. Someone who claimed he would follow the law and judges don't make the law and said the exact same answers that Judge Roberts gave, but had been involved, let's say, in some Clinton scandals. Quietly, not an active involvement, but his wife was president of Planned Parenthood, an organization which supports abortion rights. We know that Judge Roberts' wife is head of a pro-life organization, right? Although he says, you know, my personal views won't matter. When we come back, when we get Robert Peters on the line, I'm going to ask him how he would react in that situation. At the same time, I do want to also explore my concerns about abuse of executive power because that's where I fear Roberts the most. We'll be right back with Robert Peters, president of Morality Media, right after these messages.
Truckers keep America on the move, and lots of times it's chiropractors who keep truckers going. Here's a benefits card for truckers with discounts of 30 to 50% from a network of thousands of doctors of chiropractic in cities and towns all across America. This same card provides savings up to 60% from dentists at home and on the road. For $11.95 a month for individuals and $19.95 for your whole family, besides savings on chiropractors and dentists, there are similar savings on prescriptions and optical services at home and on the road. Got to get braces for the kids? Why not save? save 50%. This isn't insurance. These are instant savings with no paperwork to fill out. Truckers are important to us, and the whole point of truckersbenefits.com. Get online now. Go to www.truckersbenefits.com for the whole story. If you're on the road, phone home and tell them to check out truckersbenefits.com from just $11.95 per month.
The legacy of the great communicator lives on in his accomplishments and his spoken word. And now you can own a treasury of the great speeches of Ronald Wilson Reagan on DVD. We're offering 12 memorable speeches from Ronald Reagan's remarkable presidency, starting with his nomination speech all the way to his farewell to the nation in 1988. Included is his memorable speech at the Berlin Wall.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
This DVD collection in full color is the best way to remember Ronald Reagan and share his wit, charm, and the clarity of his challenge to all Americans. Order the stirring collection of Reagan speeches for just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. Go to www.reagancollection.com.
Order online or by mail at the address ReaganCollection.com.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing Chief Justice Roberts. The Senate went ahead and voted today. They didn't ask me. They didn't ask me what I thought. They went and voted, and I still hadn't made up my mind yet as to whether or not I would support his nomination. I will announce that before the end of the hour, I promise. But I've been going on and on about, on the one hand this, on the other hand that. He's kind of right down the middle for me, which I guess makes me a middle-of-the-road Democrat, considering that 22 voted for him and 22 voted against him. Clearly, he could have been worse. Clearly, he could have been better. On the other hand, it's the President of the United States, and, well, you know, he gets to decide those things. Even though I got suspicions of how he was elected in Ohio. So I've invited as my guest someone who has no qualms, who I'm sure very much supports Judge Roberts, just as he supports the President of the United States. His name is Robert Peters. He's the President of Morality and Media. Mr. Peters, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thanks for having me, and my earnest apologies for being late.
That's okay. He actually gave me more time to vacillate. I spent the first 40 minutes saying, on the one hand, on the other hand. Let me ask you a question, though, because I really want to put the shoe on the other foot. First of all, I'm sure you support Judge Roberts emphatically. Is that fair?
Well, I support him, but I tell you, I don't have any insider's information, and I tell you, I'm not convinced that in every case of importance to me personally, he's going to vote my way. You know, I don't think anybody could have that insurance. Certainly, nobody on the outside.
Well, and that's why here's my next question. Here's my hypothetical to you. I actually posed this to one of my listeners on the blog, and she gave me an answer, but I want to hear yours. All right, the year is 2009. The President of the United States is Hillary Rodham Clinton, maybe even Barbara Boxer. And she appoints Judge John Smith to, let's say, the Court of Appeals. He's there for 2 years. And then in 2011, Justice Stevens dies, and John Smith is going to be done to replace Justice Stevens. Now, let me tell you about my hypothetical John Smith. John Smith's wife is the former president of Planned Parenthood, certainly an organization that supports a woman's right to choose an abortion. But he gets up there and he says, you know what, I'm not going to let my personal views decide the law. I'm going to follow the law. The judges are umpires. They call balls and strikes. And I respect prior precedent, but I also understand that sometimes in extreme cases, precedent has to be overturned, like Brown versus Board of Education. And he says, you know, I promise to do my job. And the senators say, well, let me see your memos for when you served in the Clinton administration. He says, you know, that the administration of Hillary Clinton doesn't want to turn over those memos, and I can't really help that. And my memos from 20 years ago when I used to work for the ACLU, I was just defending my client, and I promised to be fair, and gives identical, the exact same answers that Roberts gave, which I think were constitutional answers. He's brilliant and is sort of middle of the road, but doesn't say how he's going to rule and doesn't want to talk about past cases. Would you, in that case, Robert Peters, support that nominee appointed by President Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Well, I tell you, you know, maybe I missed something, but, you know, to me, there are two issues. One, how will Judge Roberts, and I'm speaking personally, how will Judge Roberts vote in a case involving obscenity laws, indecency laws, let's say expanded a little bit regulation of violence to children? You know, three issues of concern to Bob Peters in morality and media.
Okay.
I obviously would have... I would be very angry at Judge Roberts if he went the wrong way. But to me, there's another issue, and, you know, I kind of philosophically, what is the proper role of the Supreme Court? And, you know, I tell you, I mean, good Lord, it's hard to know what anybody really thinks in, you know, in their heart. But I'm assuming that Roberts has this somewhat conservative philosophy that it's not the job of a judge to reorder society in the image of the Supreme Court.
Well, he said
and
that.
I'm assuming that if Hillary Rodham Clinton appoints anybody to the Supreme Court, that person is going to have the opposite view, that the very job of the Supreme Court is to save mankind from the executive branch and the legislative branch.
Well, Bob, let me...
How this person would vote in an individual case, clearly it's important. But there's another question in terms of the judge's view of the role of the Supreme Court, and I kind of think that Roberts is more in the conservative end when he sees it, you know, in terms of the job of a judge.
Bob, that's why I wanted to ask you the hypothetical, and I actually don't like the term conservative here, because in that respect, I'm very conservative. I certainly do not consider myself a judicial activist. I strongly believe that people should go according to the letter of the law. And in fact, in my view, some of the conservative justices, Scalia in particular, Rehnquist in particular, have gone away from that. So let's say that Hillary Rodham Clinton appoints this man, and you really don't know that much about him. You know his wife was head of Planned Parenthood. But he gets up there and he gives exactly the same answers that Roberts gave. He says, I respect the Constitution. I don't see judges' role as making law. I see our role as following the law. I do not believe in judicial activism. I'm an umpire. I call balls and strikes. But he's appointed by Hillary Rodham Clinton. You think you could support the guy?
Well, I tell you, realistically, there obviously, even though those are the answers that Roberts gave to the questions, we know something about Judge Roberts beyond those questions in terms of looking at his history, who, you know, which administrations he worked
for. Right, he worked in Republican administrations, no question about it.
And not just a Republican administration, but a quite conservative Republican administration. Now, I presume, unless Hillary was really going to try to be a centrist president...
No. Assume...
points to the Supreme Court is going to have a track record of being an advocate on liberal causes. So would I believe that person? No.
Okay.
That's
exactly where I come down. That's where I come down.
On some level, I don't blame the Democrats, you know, although I also don't think that it's the job of the Senate to try to pin down a nominee in terms of how they're going to decide particular cases. And I think everybody would agree on that, and yet the judges ask these nominees, they want to know how they're going to vote on a case in the future.
Bob, you see my dilemma, all right? I guarantee you that I mistrust George Bush at least as much, I think probably more, than you mistrust Hillary Rodham Clinton. I consider, and I know you don't agree with me, I consider George Bush to be one of the greatest liars and charlatans we've ever had as President of the United States. I consider him far more dishonest and crooked and corrupt than any other Republican president I can think of, with the possible exception of Nixon, and I'm not sure. So I consider Bush, and again, I'm not asking you to agree with me here, because I know you won't, but I consider him to be taking our government and taking our tax money and giving huge amounts of it to his corrupt cronies, and I think the delay indictment and frisk and all that shows that. But my point is this. Here's a man I fundamentally mistrust, George W. Bush, and he's appointed a man named John Roberts who I listened very closely to what he had to say. I'm a lawyer. I'm a Yale lawyer. There's no question he's brilliant. He knows his precedents. He knows how to cite precedents. Every word he said, I agree with. Now, what am I to do when a man I fundamentally mistrust appoints a different man who constitutionally is protected, you know, I mean, he can't be fired easily, who says things that I have to agree with, but then hides other parts?
Well, I tell you,
you see why I'm conflicted here? Because I want to trust the guy.
Oh, you know, again, I don't have insider's information, so, but, you know, I tell you, you know, and it, I tell you one part, it scares me, but I think it's quite possible that Bush really doesn't know how Roberts is going to vote.
I'm hoping. I'm pulling on that. I'm hoping for that.
But, you know, I'm assuming that what, you know, Bush's choice, you know, and I'll tell you, people, you could go back and forth. Let's say you're the most, you know, social, you know, right, I don't know, because I agree conservative can mean. But, you know,
let's say Thomas.
Man, I would say that in Bush's mind, what he's going to try to do is shape the court in a way that judges are going to be more restrained. Now, whether Judge Roberts is going to vote to overturn Roe v. Wade, whether he's going to vote to uphold obscenity laws, if I were a betting man, I would say Bush probably doesn't know the answers to those questions.
Well, good.
Now, I could be wrong.
Then I can support the guy.
Sat down and got a commitment from this man. If these cases come up, this is the way you're going to
vote. No, I don't think he got a formal commitment. The question is, did he get a wink and a nod?
Well, that's a good question. But, you know, I tell you, at one level, you know, and I mean this strongly, I'll tell you, if that bloody court down there overturns obscenity and indecency laws, I'm not going to join a violent revolution, but I'm going to sure join something to change the court. But I'll tell you, at one level, you know, again, there are two issues. How a judge is going to vote on some very, very issues of extreme importance to me and other people. But there's a bigger question, I think. What is the proper role of the Supreme Court in a government where you have checks and balances? And in my little take on this is that the Supreme, you know, the court is supposed to be the Supreme Court. It is not supposed to be the supreme branch in a three-part government above the other two.
I agree with you.
Here's
my problem, Bob.
Never intended to rule over the legislative and executive branch.
And I'm sorry to interrupt you. The problem is we're sort of coming up on the break, and we don't have much time left. But here's my problem. I want to separate those two issues because I agree with you. I strongly believe – I was called the textualist in law school. I believe that laws matter. That's the reason why I'm disgusted by the Bush v. Gore decision, because it had zero basis in law. It made me really angry to see a radical judicial activist court overturn two centuries of election law. It made me furious because they wouldn't follow the language of the law. And so I think that whether you follow the language of the law, which I sincerely hope and pray that Judge Roberts will be like that, and whether or not you are conservative or liberal in some of those cases where you can decide the matter, those are kind of two separate questions. We have our last break. I'll be coming back with Bob Peters to finish this discussion and to finally let you know how I would have voted if I were the senator from the District of Columbia. We'll be right back after this.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series, 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. Emord that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
They were charged with finding an all-water route to the Pacific, yet less than half of them knew how to swim. They nearly starved, ran out of supplies, and failed in their primary mission. So why 200 years later do Lewis and Clark still fascinate us? Maybe it's because it was a military expedition notable for battles that didn't happen. Or because the Indians they met gave them food, horses, and guidance. Maybe it's the teenage mother and the slave who were allowed to speak their minds. Or was it because they chronicled a breathtaking and abundant American landscape? For 3 years, Lewis and Clark traveled a trail of tolerance, enlightenment, and adventure that, we'd soon find out, was too good to be true. It's a trail that still winds through us all. What can we learn from a 200-year-old story? Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
We've only got 4 minutes left to discuss Chief Justice John Roberts, who was confirmed by the United States Senate today. My guest is Bob Peters, President of Morality and Media. Bob, part of the hazards of being late is we're running out of time, so I'm going to ask you to try to make your answer short if you could. Let me see if you can, if you agree with me or disagree, what I said before the break, that whether you are a judicial activist or not, and whether you're liberal or conservative, are really two separate questions. Is that fair? Are you there?
I would think so. I mean, okay. In terms of your viewpoints on issues, you could be very liberal or very conservative and still have a very, you know, I mean, a totally either activist or not activist view of what the proper role of the Supreme Court should be. So
good. I agree with you. So in back to my hypothetical one more time, Hillary Rodham Clinton or Barbara Boxer appoints someone active in Democratic administrations, but who comes there and says in all humility and looks believable that he or she will apply the law and will not be a judicial activist. Would you vote for that person?
Well, at one level, I think I really wouldn't have much choice if I were going to be true to my own principles, and I kind of think that, you know, the Senate has a role to play in the selection of a judge, but I kind of think that the primary, this nonsense of getting into how the judge is going to vote on this issue versus that issue, that really isn't the job of the Senate. I really don't think they should be intruding into those things, and even though it probably would break my heart, I probably have to vote for this person, assuming that, you know, he or she had what I would consider a restrained view of the proper role of a judge. On the other hand, if he felt that it was job of the judge to change the world, it's our, you know, the mission to, you know, to save the world et cetera, et cetera, then I'd say I don't care how you'd vote on an individual issue. You ought to be running the office. You ought to run against me, you know, and stuff like that. You know, you're a politician, not a judge.
Bob Peters, I agree with you. And I, at the end of the day, when I really thought about it, decided that I would have voted for Judge Roberts' nomination. That doesn't mean, folks, that I trust George Bush, but I think I've got to give a man who's in a constitutionally separate office, got to give him the benefit of the doubt. Now, don't get me wrong, folks. I am angry at the Bush administration for refusing to turn over those memos. I don't like this kind of secrecy. And part of my reason, admittedly, is the fact that he's replacing Chief Justice Rehnquist. Let's see who is appointed for O'Connor. I may be much tougher, but I have to come down to the fact that because I want people like Bob Peters to support a Democratic nominee in the same situation, and he, you heard it, he said he would. I may have to run this debate back in 5 years, Bob Peters. Don't run and hide from me in 2011 when I play this for you. But because I agree that when a president is duly elected, and for all the ugliness of 2000, I've seen no smoking gun to say he wasn't duly elected in 2004. There are lots of questions about it and exit polls and so forth, but I haven't seen a smoking gun. Given that he's duly elected, he has the right to appoint who he chooses, and if they're not wackos, and I got to say this about Judge Roberts, watching him on TV, it seems to me, unless he's got me totally snowed, in which case I'll be ruining the day I said this today, he seems to me to be an honorable man who has a true love of the law. You could see kind of the gleam in his eye as he cited and gave the various court opinions. And I guess I just respect his intelligence. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a pushover, folks. I tell you, I had a really tough time making this decision, not so much because of John Roberts, but because of George Bush, because he wouldn't turn over the documents, because Roberts refused to answer so many questions. But at the end of the day, I would probably hold my nose and break the tie and be one of those Democrats that actually voted for the guy. Are you surprised? Real quick, because we only have 20 seconds.
The word would be, I'll tell you, I'm getting to the place where I think this nonsense of life tenure has got to come to an end. And I don't say we should have elections. I think the selection process should remain the same. But whether it's 8 years or 12 years, that should be the term of a judge in the Supreme Court. This nonsense of these judges becoming, you know, it's a fiefdom for these judges.
Bob, that'll have to be the last word.
Compromise, I think.
We're running out of time. I actually disagree with you. I support life tenure, but we will debate again. You may be surprised. I'm not endorsing the guy, but I'd probably hold my nose and vote for him. Tune in Sunday for the Inside Scoop.
Dear Mama, my first 5 years, I'll learn a lot.
Walk, talk, brush my teeth. But for food, I'm pretty much counting on you.
I don't know what's good for me.
I can't use this.